Well, right now, at 24 minutes after 7 o'clock, it is time for Real News with Brian Ross. Brian joins us on a Thursday morning, and boy, do we have real news to talk about. Good morning, Brian.
Yes, you do, from around the world and right here in Washington. It's no storm coming to our area.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting week, but I guess the main story I'll go to once again is the dysfunction in Washington. People are being asked to testify. They're saying no, and these are members of the House and Senate. Will they be subpoenaed or not? Who knows? People are wondering why Joe Biden is calling for blowing up, going nuclear. And the reason he's doing it is it won't happen this year, but that is going to be the Democratic cry to the Democratic base in 2022, that we're losing too many of voting rights, and that will be the cry that the Democrats are going to put out. And then, of course, you have Republicans starting to turn on Donald Trump, and Donald Trump. It's a mess.
The president will be going up to the Capitol Hill today to talk to the Senate Democrats, a last-ditch effort to sort of see if they'll move on the filibuster rules and the voting rights bill. And so far, Sinema and Manchin, the two Democrats, they call themselves Democrats at least, are refusing to budge. So it'll be perhaps a futile effort, but the president's going to make it. And as you say, part of it now probably is for the optics to say we'd fight everything. What are we supposed to do?
The Republicans obviously are going to try to take back the House and the Senate. And in 2022, the Democrats are going to try to get that base going and say, listen, we've got to protect and get back to where we were. So I think these are both long-term actions, and it's going to be very interesting to see what happens over the next year and a half to see who's picked the right horse.
I'll say, and still, let's not say the election's over. This is not over. Nobody's voted. Campaigns are yet to begin in terms of the midterm. The predictions are usually that the party in power loses the House in the midterm, so that's sort of that. The Senate could well be up for grabs, and who knows? You've got guys like Ron Johnson, the Republican, a troublemaker out in Wisconsin. He has decided to run again, despite his claims about Darling Listerine can beat the COVID, et cetera. He's full of that kind of stuff, but he's running again.
It's like I said, it's a mess in Washington. But it's not only a mess in Washington; it's kind of a mess in Europe as well, with what went on with the prime minister there, and even Canada has problems with COVID. I mean, this is just a worldwide thing where it just seems like governments are in a flux.
Yeah, well, we'll have to acknowledge that, first of all, the COVID, the virus is very, very tricky, and it's constantly changing, and we're trying to stay ahead of it. But I don't think the Biden administration has helped itself with what has been a very confusing, contradictory set of instructions. Everyone I'm talking to are real serious public health advocates who were very vocal in their criticism of the Trump administration are coming around to the same sort of thing about the Biden administration. The failure to get testing lined up in time, the test kits, and we can't quite tell what the instructions are. We all have become amateur epidemiologists with our own little set of knowledge and facts.
Yeah, when I had my little health scare last week, by the way, the Sharon Ambulance Squad was, Jamie Casey was next door, so she was here in a minute, but the ambulance was here in 3 minutes. Complete COVID protocols. I went in. I don't have COVID. I don't have anything like that. But talking to some of the doctors in the emergency room, they have the same concerns. Do the vaccinations work? Do you need them? Do people have to follow up on them? Are they too weak? Does it have to do with age? I mean, there's so many questions out there now that people are basically self-medicating.
Because you're not quite sure what to do, and you're making your own decisions based on what you read or what you listen to. And I pity the poor folks that are limited to Fox News because they're getting continued bad information. But, of course, Fox News turns around and points out, well, you can't tell what Fauci or the CDC is saying. It does change. The virus changes, so the advice changes, but it hasn't been consistent, and you've got COVID confusion. Even Justice Sotomayor, the arguments a week ago on the vaccine mandate push by the Biden administration, she got her facts all goofed up.
It's just pretty amazing. Well, let's take a look at what is happening with these meetings between NATO and Russia. 2 days so far of we want this and we want this, and there's no in between. Their final meeting is today. Obviously, Russia does not want the Ukraine to join NATO. This is one of the many hot points around the world, along with North Korea and, of course, with Taiwan, that the president and this country are going to have to face up to.
Well, yes, and, you know, with the Russians sitting at those meetings in Geneva and elsewhere, it's ridiculous to think we'd invaded Ukraine. Well, why are there so many troops and helicopters passed at the borders? And you can't really take the word of Putin for anything, and that's, you know, Biden and his people, Tony Blinken, are smart enough to know that. I guess we take it as good news that they said we would never invade, but they're prepared to go back on their word and drop of a hat, so yeah, I don't think we can take too much stock in that.
And my question to you is Boris Johnson in trouble over across the sea? He faces calls to quit. He knows how to win elections, but he's a strange leader. Do you think his own party will oust him?
Hard to know. You know, he had sort of this full-throated apology yesterday. In the House of Commons, they call it the question time, where he sort of, I take full responsibility, should have done that, and he finally admitted it. You know, whoever's advising him on communication, you know, 101 in terms of crisis management is get it out there early, get your story, and don't try to beat around the bush, because it just eats away at you. But that's just what he did after denial, all kinds of crazy reasons. He finally came forward and said, yes, all right, I did go, I shouldn't have done it, it's all my fault. Finally conceded that. So we'll see if that, you know, I think other issues in, you know, the UK and here and really around the world, you know, we are all tired of COVID, the pandemic, and we are grumpy and irritable and depressed. And, you know, we're suffering from this in ways that are not just physical.
And one story I want to hit upon last, and that is the new mayor of New York City faced his first real big crisis with that just terrible, terrible fire that happened in New York City with so many deaths.
It was horrible. And it looks like, you know, someone left open the door, and they're saying essentially it became like a chimney, like a flu effect. I thought you were going to say the mayor was facing a crisis because he tried to hire his brother as a deputy police commissioner.
That was next on the list.
And he sort of downgraded him just to be executive in charge of his detail. But this is a guy who was the assistant director of parking at a community college in Virginia. To be elevated to police commissioner raised lots of questions about him. And his selection of some other people who were forced to resign from the police department, the NYPD, because of corruption concerns. One was named an unindicted conspirator, left. He's now back on the police force advising the mayor. So there are a lot of people, veteran reporters who I've been talking to, say, just stand by with this one. We don't know what's going to happen.
It's, you look back and you look back at Bloomberg, and even though he was kind of a mini dictator, he was actually good for the city. And even Rudy Giuliani for a little while there was good for the city. And now, I like Bill de Blasio as a person, but as a mayor, I just don't think he was up to the task. And it looks like New York City might have another mayor like that.
Hard to know. He's got sort of that ability to be pushing a number of progressive causes, yet he's very much pro-police. And, you know, he's received a good reaction so far. Most of the concern has been, you know, among the reporters and others, and it might be expected to always raise questions. So far he's got the people's back and lots of issues, though. I think if one of the big things in New York is that it is pledged to make the city safe again after a series of very ugly crimes. And they're already clashing between the police department and the new district attorney, who calls himself progressive and is trying to downgrade charges and release people sooner on bail and really minimize the time behind bars. All, you know, worthy things. But every time there's one person like that who commits a crime, it's across the front page of the New York Post for 3 days.
And you know who loves this? Andrew Cuomo because he's not in the news anymore.
Exactly. Yeah, and who knows? I mean, he's now been cleared of all criminal charges. Nothing's pending. Could be some civil suits, I suppose. And, of course, there's talk that, well, he may mount a comeback.
It wouldn't be surprising. Brian, it's always great to speak to you. Have a great week, and we'll speak to you next
week. I'm glad you're feeling good again, Marshall, and stand by for the big storm, huh?
And we'll see what happens. As long as it's snow, I don't care. It's the ice that I hate.
Yep, I couldn't agree more. All right, man, take care.
Take care. Brian Ross and Real News this morning here on The Breakfast Club on Robinhood Radio.